It doesn't matter where they have come from, whatever armed nations they have, if they got what belongs to me, I am going after them. The victories of the battles you will ever fight in life don't depend on any human being. They depend on what God has put within you. You are a Christian, there is no reason you should suffer any loss in life. God has deposited enough power and ability inside you. You will always win every battle. In Chronicles chapter 20, we saw an account, if you read that whole chapter, we saw an account of how three big nations ganged up against the little kingdom of Judah, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and Mount Seir. Only one of them was big enough to take care of Judah anyway. But here comes the three of them put together. We have seen, we've used this chapter 20, Chronicles chapter 20, once or twice to explain how Judah didn't have to fight in this battle. All they did was to just praise God. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. When somebody came to tell Jehoshaphat, there's a big problem. Somebody once said, bad news. It comes without notice. When you least expect it, it just shows up. Somebody came to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, and said, guess what? We saw a multitude of people coming. They were armed to teeth. The Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Seirites. The Bible said that when Jehoshaphat heard about this, that he called the whole kingdom together. Everybody, young and old, to come and pray and fast. And when they were praying, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. There is not one single issue you have in your life that does not have a direct answer from God. God has an answer for you, waiting for you. Now, the people gathered and they prayed. And while they were praying, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jair, don't be worried about all the names. We're going somewhere. The son of Jair, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Just one guy who was in the congregation. It's not the pastor, it's not the high priest, it's not King Jehoshaphat. It was somebody somewhere. The Spirit of God came on that person. And the person began to speak God's words. Just as I am preaching now, the Spirit of God could come upon someone in this congregation right now. And then you begin to speak God's words. That was what happened right there. He began to speak God's word and he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, all the people of God, listen, God's got a word for you. He said, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. The challenges of your life, they are not yours to bother about. They are God's matter to bother about. There are some issues you really cannot handle by yourself. Let's face some facts. There are some issues. There is nothing you can do about it. Some you will wish, if I have enough money, I could solve this problem. But there are some, even if you have money, it can't solve some problems. There are some problems money can't solve. So it doesn't matter what the problem is. The Spirit of God is saying there that the battle is not yours. It's God's battle. I have come to an understanding in my life that there is not any situation in my life that God has not already taken care of. I'm not even talking about the issues that I have now. Even in the future one that I have not known yet, God has taken care of them already. So by the time I show up there and I see one situation, I say, this is one of those situations that God has taken care of before I came here. And it is so for every one of us. If you are a Christian, that is the truth about your life. There is not one challenge that you will come across in life that God has not known about before it came. And because He's God, who knows the end from the beginning, and He has an answer for every situation that concerns every single person, brother and sister, God has provided an answer for that situation before it started. Look at this situation. He said the battle is not yours, it's God's battle. So if they didn't know that it's God's battle, they would have been panicking. They may have even decided, let's carry everything we have, let's go and give these people and surrender to them. They could have surrendered to their enemy and become slaves for the rest of their lives. But God said, the battle is not yours, it's mine. Let's look in the next verse. Verse 16. He begins to tell them, say, tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come by the cliff of Ziv. Look at what is going on here. He said, they are coming by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Now, God was revealing the secret of the adversaries to Judah. Those guys had planned. They said, this is the kingdom of Judah here. We will pass this side and catch them on our ways. God was telling them, they are coming through the backside. So don't go this way. Just go and wait for them where they are coming through. So why are you worried about the situations of your life? Look at what happened. Let's go to verse 20. When Jehoshaphat saw what God had said, he said, he has given us the whole plan. The whole game plan is in our hand. Like I said to Christians, if you have a challenge, don't worry. The victory is inside your pocket. King Jehoshaphat said, why are we worried? Verse 20, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophet, so shall he prosper. The wind is coming. Mm-hmm. The wave is coming. Mm-hmm. Tornado. Mm-hmm. He says, believe in the Lord your God, you will be established. He said, believe his prophet. As you hear the word of God coming to you, believe it. He said, you will prosper. Verse 21, he says, and when he had consulted, Jehoshaphat the king said, go say we don't have to fight in this battle. Then we don't need the army. He said, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. So the king left the army behind, and he put musicians in front, choir. He put choir in front and put army behind. Ah, that looks stupid. You don't need singers in war. What you need is army. But here, they brought singers in front and put the army behind. And then the army began to follow the choir people and was watching what was going to happen. And the choir began to sing. There's war in front. There's war in front. They knew that soldiers are coming. And these are not useless soldiers. They are strong army. Three kingdoms. Moab alone can destroy Judah in 30 minutes. War for war. And here they come, three of them against Judah. And then they carry their tiny choir in front and be singing, praise ye the Lord, his mercy is endured forever. You see, the life of a Christian might look stupid, but that's where the strength of God is revealed. I want to show to you what the choir was saying. They said the mercy, for his mercy endures forever. What is the mercy of God? The mercy of God is not just, okay, you did something wrong, I forgive you. I'm a very merciful person, I forgive you. That's not all that the mercy of God entails. The mercy of God is bigger than that. Jonah, chapter 1 and chapter 2. Jonah was talking about the mercy of God. Jonah said in verse 8 to 8, he says, anyone who casts his eye upon the shadow, he will forsake the mercy of God. The choir was singing, he said, for his mercy endures forever. One guy who understood what the mercy of God is very much was David. He sang a lot about the mercies of God. What is the mercies of God? The mercy of God is the favor, the presence of God that brings God goodness into your life to act on your behalf. And this kind of God's goodness and mercy and favor upon your life, it comes upon your life irrespective of who you are. Now, when it comes upon your life, it doesn't check to see how good you have been. That's one thing with this mercy of God. If it finds some error in your life, it corrects those errors and still comes upon your life. It says the mercy of God, it endures forever. Even when you made a mistake again, that mercy says he clears the mistake away and it continues. You make another mistake, he clears that mistake away and it continues. It endures forever. Irrespective of what you do, the mercy of God is strong enough. He said the mercy endures forever. There is not one thing you could ever do wrong that would be strong enough to overcome and overpower the mercy of God. It is strong enough to remain forever. Somebody once asked me, oh, Pastor Marvin, are you saying that the mercy of God is so strong so we should live anyhow we like and do all the wrong things we want to do, and because the mercy of God endures forever? Then you don't understand what the mercy of God is. When the mercy of God comes upon a man's life, he discovered the goodness and the love of God that even when he sees a mistake a second time, he himself doesn't want to do it again. Because he has enjoyed so much of the love of God that every next time he wants to please God. A person who lives in sin does not understand the mercies of God. When you come to understand the mercies of God, you yourself, you will detest sin. He said the mercies of God endures forever. But I found out that people who live continually in sin, I'll tell you why. Because they think of God as a God of judgment. And they look at their life is full of errors. And then they are running away from God. Somebody once told me that she doesn't read the Bible because she knows that if she reads the Bible and what the Bible says is this way, and then she is living this way, if she didn't read it, it's better. Because if she has read it and then she's doing otherwise, then the judgment becomes bigger. That is ignorance. Because if you read the Bible, you discover that God is a God whose mercy endures forever. And by the time you test his mercy once, the Bible says in Psalms 8:32, it says, "Oh, test and see that the Lord is good." When you test the mercy of God once, it will purge your conscience. Forever, you will want to enjoy the mercies of God. He said, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." They were singing God's praises because they understand that if the mercy of God is upon us, let me tell you something. You know of David, the young boy who faced Goliath. He said, Goliath said, "Look at this little boy. You think I'm a dog? What's your problem? I will kill you and give your body to the birds of the air and they'll eat you up." But David, the little boy, was telling Goliath, he said, "Today I'm going to fix you. You are coming with all your ammunitions, but I'm coming in the name of the Lord." He said to Goliath, "I will cut off your head from your neck and I will give your body to the carcass of the air. And not only you, the host of the Philistines, all these soldiers you are seeing, I am going to give their bodies to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the forest." The Bible said David didn't have a sword in his hand. He had only a sling. And he was talking about giving Goliath's body to the birds of the air. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Exactly what David said was what happened. Why? Why did David talk like that? David understood that when he was coming against Goliath, it was not a man that was coming against Goliath. There was a man, a great man of God I've talked about a few times. His name is John. John the Baptist. John the Baptist was so powerful. Matthew chapter 11, verse 3. You're going to see something very interesting here. John was the great prophet of God, John the Baptist. Jesus even said of John, he said, "This man, John, of all the people that have been born in this world before I came, this John is the greatest of all of them. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than Abraham, Papa Abraham. He's greater than all of them, David, Solomon." He said, "This guy, John, is greater than all of them." That was what Jesus said. And if Jesus said so, it was God who said so. Now, this guy, John didn't really know the spirit that was inside him. He didn't know the spirit that was inside him. And so when they came to arrest him, they picked him up. He didn't know what was going on. They put him in jail. And then when he was in jail, listen to this very carefully. He was put in jail. And he couldn't help himself. And while he was in jail, let's read from verse 1, please. "And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities." Next verse. "Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples," he sent two disciples to Jesus, "and said unto him, Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another?" If you don't understand what is going on here, I'm going to explain it to you. John the Baptist announced to the whole world that this Jesus is the Messiah that should come. And when he was baptizing Jesus, the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus right before John. John saw the Holy Spirit with his own eyes. He saw the Holy Spirit. That's what he said in the Bible. He said, "And I saw him," the Holy Spirit, "descend upon him." And The one who sent me had told me that when you see the Holy Spirit descend upon him, that's the Holy Spirit himself told John, that when you see me descend upon that guy, you will know that that's the Messiah that should save the whole world. Why he was baptizing everybody? Then he saw one guy. He was telling them, there's one guy that is amongst you, is already in this city, that is going to be the Messiah of the whole world. And he kept baptizing people. And he was baptizing people. And as he lifted up his eyes, that's the one! That's the Messiah I've been talking about. That's the one. That's the guy, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sins of the whole world. He saw him. He saw the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus. And then Jesus came to him to baptize. He said, Master, are you coming to me for me to baptize you? You are the one who is supposed to baptize me. Jesus says, don't worry, just baptize me. And then he baptized Jesus. And Jesus left the water, and the Holy Spirit descended on him again, and the voice came out from heaven and said, that's my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, what happened afterwards? In some time, a little later, John the Baptist was arrested because of what he said against the politicians. And he was put in prison. While he was in prison, Jesus was preaching about in town, healing the sick and raising the dead. And then John the Baptist was like, what's the matter with this guy? I have announced him to everybody and now he's preaching everywhere. When he hear that I'm in prison, he's not coming to help me out. He said, what's the matter with this guy? Is he not supposed to be the Messiah? Do you know the meaning of Messiah? Savior. Is he not supposed to come and save me? Me that announced him. He should come and save me and stop preaching there. So he sent his disciples to him and said unto him, art thou he that should come? Or should we look for another? Should we be waiting for another Messiah? What's the matter with this guy? I'm in prison, suffering here. Only 1 meal in 3 days. Now, if you read that story on, if you read the story of John the Baptist, he was beheaded. He was taken out of prison and his head was cut off, and that was how he died. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. There were two other young men who were captured because they were preaching the gospel on the streets. Paul actually commanded the spirit to get out of the little girl, and then none of them, that they beat him and put him in jail. Now, while he was in jail, him and Silas, they were in jail. What happened? The Bible said, verse 25, while they were in jail, you would think they would complain. What's this? Did Jesus say, I will be with you to the end of the world? He said, go here and preach the gospel everywhere. And lo, I am with you to the end of the world. Where is he that is with us now? I was preaching and they beat me. He was there looking and they were beating me. And they finished beating me and they put me in jail. What kind of a thing is this? Could they not have complained that way? They could have complained. But watch what they did. And at midnight, when you think that they will say, what is all this? Let the money come, we will repent and not be Christians again. What's all this? This is too much. Small. Before long, they'll come and kill us like they killed John the Baptist. That was a possibility. But look at what they did. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. They did what? They did what? Meanwhile, their legs were held chained down and their hands were in stock. And then while they were there, they were singing praises to God. Hallelujah for the Lord God, omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Maybe the chains, they use the chains to make some good sound. Hallelujah for the Lord God, omnipotent reigns. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing that can stop your mouth from praising God. Verse 26, what happened? And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. There was a great earthquake. And the foundations of the prison were shaking. And immediately all the doors were opened and their bounds were loosed. If God has to change the government of a country because of one person, he will do it. Listen, you may not understand, Why people were shouting corona, God was using corona period to bless some other people. If you didn't get blessed during corona, you need to find out, you need to go back and pray. They sang, they praised, and they were praising. Because of two little guys in jail, God caused an earthquake to hit a city. My dear brother and sister, in your life, when you wake up, start to praise God. When you wake up, forget the challenge and start to praise God.
We trust that you have been blessed by this message. If you have not been born again, I want to lead you into salvation right now, the Bible way. This is your opportunity to receive salvation. Say these words after me and mean them from the bottom of your heart, and God will hear you. Say, "Oh Lord God, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross to save my soul. I believe God raised Him from the dead, and He is alive today. I confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. From this day, I receive by faith eternal life into my heart. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I have eternal life now. I am born again. I am a child of God. From this day, amen." Congratulations, you are now a child of God. To receive more information on how you can grow as a Christian, please send us an email at cesydney@gmail.com. That is cesydney@gmail.com. God bless you.